Yeah. 40 is when you begin?
Officially, I think it was in the
Cowboy Field on 40
Twin.
Can you see?
Yeah.
Jesse, can you give me a photograph for the shoes?
Yes. Will be in your office?
No.
So you will be in your office? I can go in?
Yeah, you can go in. I'm leaving it. Just put something around for attendance.
What's today, 20:30?
Yes.
Okay. Good day. Okay, let's begin, guys. Okay, topic for today, Mr. Shem, is the topic of gambling. So, as of introduction, let's begin that the concept of gambling is known from antiquity. It's mentioned in Tanakh, in Sefer Shoftim, Pirkei Yudalev, the concept of gambling. And the Gemara comments in Chulin, on Daf Tzadi Aleph from the Beis, that Yaakov Avinu, when he spoke to the Saron Shel Esav, the Saron Shel Esav said he's got to get going, the dawn is coming. So Yaakov Avinu said to him, Kubi Yustus Ata? Are you a Kubi Yustus? So there's a machlokas with Rabbeinu Hananel and Rashi. What that kubiustus means. Kubia, from the word cubes. So Rashi says it means a kidnapper, but Rabbeinu Hananel says it means a gambler. So Rabbeinu Hananel says that, and the gambler is always on the run, because he's always afraid that someone's going to catch him, he has a lot of debts. So you see already that from Saro Shalesev, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, is called a gambler. So this concept of a person that gambles, the Sefer Hasidim writes that a person that loses all his money through gambling, it's usher to give him stucker. This is what the Sefer Hasidim writes. And in 1576, there was a terrible plague in the city of Cremona, Italy. And three Rabbanim said afterwards they felt the reason why the Magefa happened is because there was so much gambling going on in the town. And therefore, they felt that was the reason. And the truth is, the Pachad Yitzchok, an encyclopedic work, writes that there were takanas and gzeiras made, lemaisa, and he writes one line that he thinks all the source of all the tsaros of Klai Yisrael has is because people are so involved in gambling. The Chuvas HaRashba writes that if you're owed money by someone through gambling, it's usher to take him to a Beis Din and collect those debts through Beis Din. Because we view it as like it was an illegal way of trying to what? Trying to raise money. And the Chuvas HaRosh writes that people that were gamblers were thrown out of the Chevra Kedisha, they were thrown out of the burial societies, and there were other takanas made that they weren't able to hold their weddings in certain shuls. And the Zichron Yehuda, one of the great Rishonim, records that the issue of gambling caused so many problems, terrible, terrible problems, that there was domestic violence, and there was problems with mechanech one's children. And even many of the poskim said that in the Darim, people would take vows that they wouldn't gamble. And many Rishonim said, don't take the vows, because it was so luring gambling that they would gamble, they'd be over that Aveira, and they'd be over the Aveira of breaking the vows. So we see clearly that there were excommunications made, there were punishments made, and the truth of the matter is, the Mordechai says in Shavuos, don't take any of the darim, because the people that are involved in gambling, they're going to gamble, they're going to break their vows, so it's a terrible, terrible thing. The Mordechai says in Sanhedrin, maybe on occasion, one is permissible to do that, but we'll see when, by the time we get to the end of the Shir Bezushem, we'll see that Lamaisa, all forms of gambling are prohibited. But the Mordechai has a line like that. And the Maram Rutenberg writes, for Tztaka, to raise Tztaka, it is considered to be permissible. The Masas Binyamin says that it's considered to be permissible. But as I said, we'll see at the end, Bezushem, that even to raise stock of funds is prohibited through the vehicle of gambling. But there are opinions like the Maram Ruthberg and the Masses Binyamin that say it's okay. In fact, they used to say whoever would win the lotto, would say Shechianu Ratov Meitiv. If it was good for yourself, they'd say Shechianu is good for others, they'd say Tov Meitiv. But the bottom line is that Lamaisa, they're coming from the perspective that they think for stock it's mutter. If you say the whole thing's also, then it's a problem. There's a Gemara in there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Pirkei Avot, pasuk Yud. I want to translate it in English. One who plays games of dice are the sinners in whose hands is craftiness. And the Medrash Tehillim, Pirkei Avot, O Zion says, calculating with their left hand and covering with their right hand and defrauding and robbing each other. So these are very negative statements. The Gemara says in Baba Basra and Dafsadi Bezim and Bez, the Dafsadi Gimel and Aleph, it says Beferish that if you sell an Evid, Kanaini, to someone, and he turns out to be a gambler, the sale's a good sale, because most of Avadim are gamblers. And Yushalmi writes in the Dorim that if you take a netter not to make any money, that includes even gambling. You're not allowed to make money even through gambling. So we see Beferish Lamaisa that we have to be very, very careful about this topic, and now we have to be able to investigate how is it possible, what is the nature of gambling, and what is it based on, halacha lemaaseh. Okay. So, to begin the following, after that introduction, the Mishnah states in Sanhedrin, on Daf Vavdalet Amnaf, that there are many people that are pasul apes, midrabanan. The Mishnah lists off a list of people. And on that list is someone that's Masachet Bekuvia, who plays dice, or Mafricha Yonim, or bets on pigeon races. And Tosus writes, Mikoach the Sugi in Rosh Hashanah, Tosus writes, all those fellows in the Mishnah are apostle only with the Rabbanah. Okay? Now, what's the difference between someone that's apostle Laetus with the Rabbanah and apostle Laetus the Urai? So there are two major nafkamins. Number one is, for purposes of Eidus Isha, to verify that a husband is dead, to allow a woman to remarry, people that are apostle Laetus the Urai are not acceptable. But people that are apostle Laetus the Rabbanah are acceptable. They are acceptable, halach lemaaseh. That's one major nafkamina. For purposes of Eidus Isha, to verify that a husband's dead, we accept Eidim that are psulim with the Rabbanah, but not Eidim that are psulim with the Uraisa. Okay? That's number one major nafkamina. Number two major nafkamina is, from what time are they psulim? When do they become psulim? If you're doing an Aveira that's the Uraisa, you're psulim from the very time you do the Aveira. But if you're psulim with the Rabbanah, you're only possible from the time Bezin makes an announcement that Mr. X is a gambler. Okay? So that's the second major nafkamina. If you're possible Lagos the Uraisa, it's from the time he actually did the Aveira, and that has to be a lav sheish bo maisa, or that you're a ganef. It has to be a lav that you get malchus for, or that you're a ganef of mamon. That will make you possible Lagos me the Uraisa, and you're possible from the very time you do the Aveira. Someone that's possible Lagos me the Rabbanon, only from the time Bezin declares you that you're a gambler, are you possible? So those are the two major nafkaminas you have between someone that is posel edus d'oraisa and someone that's posel edus midrabanan. I remember once, many years ago, I was an aide on a ksuba, and Rav Kalevsky Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael, asked us if we played cards. So I said, I don't. My friend said, once in a while he does. So he says, you should be mekabel upon yourself to do tshuva that you shouldn't play anymore. To be kosher, to allow him to be the aide on the ksuba. So that's that's the Mishnah in Shas that lists off which guys are postulatus with the Rabbanan, and on that list is a gambler. Either people that play with dice or pigeon racing, they bet on pigeon racing, and therefore they are postulatus with the Rabbanan. And the Gemara, as I mentioned to you, these are the two major nafkaminas as to whether someone's postulatus, possibly raised, the Rabbanan, the Raisa, in the realm of Eidus Isha, to allow a woman to remarry to verify the husband's dead. And number two, when does the psul actually implement it? Okay. Now, why is it, Taka, that a gambler is postulatus? So the Gemara asks that kasha in Sanhedrin and Chavdal and Mibes. Okay? Gemara asks that kasha. And the Gemara states as follows. Gemara gives two approaches. The first approach is that it's a problem of gezel, stealing. Because there's a principle called asmachta, And asmachta lo kanya. Okay? Asmachta lo kanya. Now, what on earth is an asmachta? Whenever you do a kinyan in halacha, when you want to transfer possession of an article, an item, there are three elements you need. You need the willingness of the buyer, and you need the willingness of the seller, and you need a maisa kinyan, an action that connotes the transfer of the ownership of the object. So the three elements you need in every kinyan halacha. However, an asmachta means that, according to the Poshup Shah, we'll get to later, but it's from the Rambam's approach, but the simplest pshat according to Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ramban is, as you make a kinyan on a tanai, with an umdu de muchach, you never would come to fruition. You thought 100% slam dunk, and never would come to fruition, the fulfillment of this condition. And the psychology of a gambler, the Gemara says, is when you put the money on the table, the reason why you play the game is because you feel wholeheartedly you're going to win. And then when you turn out to lose, the fellow that wins and walks away with all the money is stealing because you're lacking the das makta. When you put the money on the table, you didn't think you were going to lose. You thought you were going to win. And therefore, the Gemara says, an asmachta, literally to translate it, means you're relying on something. The kinyan was you never thought it would come to fruition. You never thought you would lose. You're only putting the money on the table. And on the condition that you lose, you're giving the money to whoever the winner is. But you never thought that would come to fruition. So therefore, you're lacking in what we call das makna. The das makna is lacking. The das of the seller or of the giver. And therefore, since you're lacking das makna, it's not a good kinyan. And the fellow that walks away with the loot and the winnings is labeled as a ganav or a goslin. We should say a goslin in this case because it's in the open. Ganav is covertly you steal. A goslin is you do it in the open. So therefore, the first approach that the Gemara says is that you are a ganav. You're a goslin, rather. The person that wins gambling is a goslin. Now, you might ask, so why is it, and this is a very interesting concept that comes up, why is it that you're pasul only d'rabbanan? If you're a goslin, you're pasul d'oraisa. Why does the Mishnah list the gamblers only pasul d'rabbanan? So Tosfos writes in Sanhedrin that you did it b'shogeg. No one thinks that when they sit down and play poker with their friends, whoever walks away with the winnings is labeled as a goslin. No one thinks you're stealing. So since you did it b'shogeg, we downgrade your psul from being d'oraisa to being only what? Midrabbanan. So that's the first approach in the Gemara, that the Gemara says b'feirish. That's the first approach, l'maisa, as to why a gambler is pasul aedus midrabbanan. Okay? Then, the Gemara doesn't like that approach. Okay? And the Gemara comes along and gives a second approach. And that second approach is, Gemara thinks it's not a problem of an asmachta. You know, let's just say why now, why it's not. Why does the Gemara ask? The Gemara has a line, according to our Gerson, Sanhedrin Chavtalmes, Bechol ki aigavna, lav asmachtahi. That this case is not considered to be an asmachta. Why not? So on that line, there's a machlokas Rashi Tosos. Okay? Rashi says, because the bottom line is that when people sit down and gamble, they don't think that what? They're always going to win. They don't. And since they don't think they're always going to win, because it's not biyado, the Gemara uses a lashon, it's not biyado, Rashi says. It's not in your, unless you're a cheater, but unless you're, we're not talking about a guy who's a cheater. It's not biyado, you don't know for sure you're going to win. So when you sit down and play that game with your friends, it's certainly not biyado. So you have in mind that it might come to fruition. So the truth of the matter is, you do have the right das makta. You do have the right das makta. Your das makta is not lacking. The Gemara says, Kol ki agavna lav asmachti. The Gemara quickly jumps on that first approach and says, what do you mean? Your das makta is not lacking because you know very well that you sit down and play, you might lose. So the Gemara says it's not called an asmachti. That's Rashi's approach, okay, to that kasha, as to why it's not a lava, not an asmachti. Tosfos has a different approach. The other approach is that anytime you have a reciprocal ischaivis, what does it mean reciprocal ischaivis? Someone stands to win, someone stands to lose. This fellow stands to lose, this guy stands to win. So whenever you have a reciprocal hichaivus, which is called himru zet zet, meaning that you're dealing with what? Each one has a reciprocal hichaivus, one stands to win, one stands to lose. and each one is equal. In that case, we don't call that an asmachta, because everyone who sits on that table has the, around the table has the possibility. So since anyone who sits on the table has that possibility of winning or losing, we don't call that an asmachta. You know where that comes up? Tosfos says about tenoyim. We don't do it so much, but chassidim do it. You know, when a couple gets engaged, the chassidim, and many Ashkenazis have this, many, they used to make tenoyim, that the two families got together and said, we're going to put in $20,000 each to see to it that this couple gets married, and they'll be strong financially and emotionally, and they make a kinyan with each other. Now what happens, God forbid, if they call off the engagement? So what's the din in that case? So the din in that case is the same thing, Lamaisa. Is that we assume the halacha Lamaisa, that if one of the couples, one of the sides of the couple, stops the engagement, breaks off the engagement, what's the halacha? The halacha is that that's considered they have to pay the money. Each one said that they would put in $25,000. But isn't that an asmachta? They only did it on condition they would get married. They broke off the engagement. That doesn't make a difference. Both sides, there was a notion that possibility could exist from both sides. So since from both sides the possibility could exist, that one stands to win, one stands to lose, there's always that possibility. So we say that that's not considered to be what? We say that's not considered to be a problem in asmachta. So Rashi and Tosfos, let's get down the two reasons why. The two reasons why the Gemara jumps on this first approach, and either that it's lav biyado, it's not in your hands that you're going to win. It's not in your hands you're going to win. And the other approach, that's Rashi's approach, Tosa's approach, is that it's considered to be what? It's considered to be shnei tzadim. It's considered to be both sides stand to win, stand to lose. That's not called an smach. Okay? So the Gemara has difficulty with this first approach, why a gambler is possible. So one more time again, why is a gambler possible, we're saying? Because why? He's a gazlan, he's stealing. And the reason why he's possible later is only what? Only the Rabbanan, because he doesn't know that he's doing it. He's doing it b'shogeg. And the Gemara says that's the concept called an asmachta, because when you put the money on the table, you thought you were going to win. And when the fellow walks away with the loot, he's stealing from you. The Gemara says, is that really true? It's not really true. Rashi says it's not beyond. You don't know you're going to win. And number two is, who says that's an asmachta? That possibility always exists. One stands to win, one stands to lose. So therefore, Tosa says that's the reason why it's not an asmachta. Okay. So then the Gemara says, what is the second approach why a gambler is postulatus? So Gemara says the following. Second approach, and the Gemara says, because he's not osei b'yeshivu shel olam, he is not contributing to society. He is not working 9 to 5, eino osei b'yeshivo sh'ol. He's not doing something that is what contributing to society. He's wasting his life. He's doing nothing. And that's a psul, that's derabanan. That's not a psul d'oraisa. I mean, someone let's say is unemployed, it's not going to be postulatus. But this type of activity where he's not contributing to society, we view that as a psul edus min derabanan. He's not osik b'yeshivo sh'ol, the Gemara says. And that is why a gambler is postulatus, the second approach in the Gemara. Okay? Now, if I would ask you, give me two different nafkaminas, halachic difference between the two approaches, why a gambler is postulatus, what would you say? Go ahead.
In the second case, you can gamble as long as you do something else.
Excellent. Very excellent. Gemara says, if you have a job, umnus. If you have a job, according to the second approach, without a doubt, you would be kosher latest. If you work 9 to 5 and you go to Atlantic City on the weekends, so according to this approach, you would still be kosher latest. Excellent. Whereas, if you hold the first approach, if you steal guys once a year, you're still a ganav. You're still a gazlan. I don't care how often you do it. I don't care if you're like Robin Hood. You're stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. That's also gazlan. So according to this first approach, it wouldn't make a difference if you had a job or not. Okay? So very excellent. What is your name?
Jesse.
Okay, very good. What's another nafkamina, guys? What would you say? Anyone can think of another nafkamina? Go ahead, Jesse.
The manner in which you could also undo the harm on yourself. Meaning, in the first case, I think what you steal, I mean, unless you return the money, there's no way to...
You mean to do tshuva? But no matter what, Lamaisa, the tshuva probably is going to be the same, which we're going to get to at the end. It's a good question, how you do tshuva for this. But I don't think that'll be a difference. I'll tell you what I think the difference would be. Let's say a guy is always a loser. He never won in his life. So if you always lose, I'll write down, lo natzach. Let's say you never won in your life when you gamble. So according to the first approach, you never stole. But according to the second approach, at least you are engaging in an enterprise, which is a total waste of time. And therefore, that will deem you to be what? That will deem you to be postulates. And that's very fascinating, because whenever you guys learn a sugya in Gemara, in Halacha, where you could come up with nafkamin in each approach, you follow what I'm saying? Because in this case, if you have a job, according to the second approach, you're kosher. According to the first approach, you're what? You're possible. And the other nafkamin is flipped. Meaning that if you never won, if you hold the second approach, you're still possible, ladies, because you're engaging in an activity that's a total waste of time. But if you hold what? Like the first approach, then you never stole. So you'd be what? You'd be okay. So you see, those are very good nafkaminas when you can pull it off from both approaches. Okay? Yes, go ahead.
The second nafkamina,
yeah,
would be relevant. Unless it's only a one-on-one bet, you could be facilitating theft.
Oh, that's a very good point, Jesse. It could very well be. That's a side issue. In fact, I think you're right. You'd be overly favored. If you sit down and play poker with someone and you always lost, you might not be a goslin, but you have caused other people to be over an avera, namely the winner, which is called lifnei iver. Lifnei iver means you're not allowed to cause someone to stumble in an avera. Like a Nazarite, can't drink wine. The Gemara says, if I give him a cup of wine, I'm over lifnei iver. So you would be over lifnei iver, but that would be a separate din, separate halacha. Okay, that might not make you possible avis, which we're going to get to. Okay? That's your show. Okay, very good. Now, how do we paskin on this question? So I just want to mention that the approach that we gave of Asmachta is whose approach? Rashi, Tosas, and the Ramban. Okay? The Ramban has a different approach to what Asmachta is. Okay? The Ramban has a completely different approach to what Asmachta is. The Ramban claims... I'm going to write down what the Rambam says. The Rambam holds the following. The Rambam holds that I can wake up in the morning and obligate myself to owe someone some money. That's called Yitzchayvus Bepeh. But I cannot get up one morning and say, if it rains tomorrow, I'm going to obligate myself to give you $5,000. That's called Das Al Tanai. According to the Rambam says that an Asmachta is Das Al Tanai. Das al Tanai. Okay? That's what an Asmachta is according to the Rambam. Therefore, it's like too flimsy. In other words, there's no kinyanim at all involved according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, I can wake up one morning and obligate myself, schayvus midas, but if I hinge it on a condition, that's not considered to be what? Obligatory. It's not binding. So the Rambam has a completely different definition of what Asmachta is. Okay? And based on that, we'll get back to the Rambam Shita later, but I just wanted to define for you, according to Rashi, Tosos, and Ramban, you're making a kinyan, you did a kinyan, but the kinyan was on a condition that you never would thought would come to fruition. Right? Whereas according to the Rambam, Asmachta means you didn't make a kinyan. You just verbally say, obligate yourself that if it rains tomorrow, you're going to give someone money. So, let's plug it in now. What's the case? If you guys are sitting around a round table playing poker, let's say. Okay? According to the Tosfos, where's the kinyan? Where's the kinyan according to the Tosfos? You always need a kinyan. They're passing around a bowl. Or the table is what? Different quadrants. Each bowl or the quadrant is a kinyan chatzar. There's a kinyan chatzar. You know what a kinyan chatzar is? Someone throws an object in my backyard, it's mine. So the bowl is mine. Or the quadrant of my table is mine. So you're making a kinyan, and you're making it on condition that you never thought would come to fruition. You always think you're going to win. That's Rashi and Tosos' definition of what a smach is, where you actually make a kinyan. According to the Rambam, the issue at hand of a smach is what? Is that you're playing with what? You're playing with Mesachakim Ba'amon. You're playing with no kinyan. There are no kinyanim at all. It's all just baal peh. It's all verbal. It's all verbal. There's a secretary treasurer writing down the records. But there is, it's all verbal. It's all outside. There's no kinyanim being made, according to the Shita Sarama. And the Rambam, according to the Vilna Gaon, did not have the gears in the Gemara. Kol ki agadim lav asmachti. According to the Rambam, it is an asmachta. And we're going to see, Bez Hashem, that according to the Rambam, halacha l'maisa, according to the Rambam, it seems to be that there will be a problem, l'maisa, of gambling. Okay? Because the Rambam has both approaches. The way we said the Gemara, according to Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ramban, is there's only one approach. The Gemara said the problem is asmachta. The Gemara got rid of it. And the Gemara said this approach is only because ain't also b'shuv shalom. According to the Rambam, both approaches remain steadfast. Okay. Now, how do we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch? How do we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch about gambling? How do we paskin? So the Mechaber writes the following. If you play with a Jew, the Mechaber says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you play with a Jew, the Mechaber says it's a problem of gezel, stealing. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Ayin Chosha Mishpat. If you play with a non-Jew, he says, if you play with a non-Jew, he says it's not a problem because this is only, what type of gezel is this, did we say? The Yoraisa or the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan. But by gezel akum, they were makel. Gezel akum is usher to steal from a boy. But if it's only the Rabbanan, they were makel. So that means, he says, the Mechaber says it's gezel, but to play with a goy would be a problem of what? No gezel would be a problem of what? Ein osik b'yishuv shalom. So the Mechaber basically quotes both reasons. And basically, you know what he says? He says, no matter what, engaging in this activity is a problem of not contributing to society, even if you have another job. And then the Mechaber quotes a Yesh Omrim, who's really the Ravid. The Ravid says that's only if you don't have another job. If you have a job, umnus, if you have another job, then it's considered to be okay. So again, the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch the following. That if you play with a Jew versus a Jew, it's a problem of gezel, like the first approach. I wasn't that slugged up? No, it wasn't. According to the Rambam didn't have that girsa of kol ki agadim lav asmachti. According to the Vilna Gaon, the Rambam had the girsa. It stuck, the first approach. It's a problem of gezel when you play with another Jew. If you play with a goy, it's not a problem of gezel because it's only gezel to Rabbanim. Gezel to Rabbanim and gezel akum what? They were makel. So the only problem is you're not contributing to society. That's mashma. Even if you have a job, it's a problem. Somehow engaging in this terrible activity is horrible, even if you have a 9-to-5 job. Then the Ravid, the Yesh Omrim and the Mechaber comes along and says, the Yesh Omrim and the Mechaber, who's really the Ravid, Pirik Vav, Halakha Vav, and Nichols Kzeilu, the Ravid says, no, that's only if you have no job. If you have a job, it should be okay. If you have a job, it should be okay. And that's what the Ramah writes. The Ramah writes, the Feirish, that the issue is, Eino Osik Yeshiva Shalom. Eino osik b'yeshivo shel olam. You are not contributing to society. That's what the Ramah says. So if you have a 9-to-5 job, according to the Ramah, it's going to be okay. So again, the Mechaber Pasch is like the first approach in the Gemara, that is the issue of gezel, but he distinguishes between a Jew and a non-Jew. That with a Jew it's a problem, with a non-Jew it's not a problem because only gezel the Rabbanan. But he says it would be a problem of what? Eino osik b'yeshivo shel olam, even if you have a job. And then the Ravid says, no. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? The Ravid says, if you have a job, it's no problem. If you have a job, it's not a problem. So it comes out, and let's get this, Lamaisa, very interesting. Halacha Lamaisa, what kind of job do you have to have, says the small? You can make $1 a week, but at least you're working hard. At least you're working hard. You know what the notion of contributing to society is all about? It's about the following. I have no problem lying, he says, in court. He doesn't appreciate what mammon's all about. He'll lie for someone that someone owes money. But if you work and you have a job and you have appreciation of working hard, what it's all about, no matter how much money you make, then that's considered to be your osik b'yeshuv shalom. But if you don't have a job at all, you have no appreciation of what it means to work hard, and you have no problem of lying in court, and therefore everything will go awry, and therefore we cannot trust your testimony. So what it boils down to be is really which approach of the Gemara do we hold like as to what the problem of a gambler is. Is it really gezel, or is it really what, or is it not contributing to society? And Lamaisa, the Rebbe Avati Yosef Shlita writes that a Sephardic storekeeper, an Ashkenazic storekeeper rather, it's also to sell lotto tickets in Eretz Yisrael to an Ashkenazic person. Okay? Again, an Ashkenazic storekeeper is prohibited to sell tickets to a Sephardic customer. Because lotto, according to the Mechaber, is an Isser of Gezel. It's a problem of Gezel. You have a job. You, the Ashkenazic, that's fine. For you, Ashkenazic, it's okay. But Lamais, you're selling to a fellow Jew and you're being overly naiver. So it's a problem of Gezel. So it really comes down to be a Machlaikis, Mechaber, based on the two different approaches in the Gemara that we have to work. We have to crystallize even further because the Rambam, as I said, fuses the two reasons together in Hilchos Gzeil and Hilchos Eves. He says that if you play with a non-Jew, you can bet your bottom dollar that what you're also playing with a Jew, and if you have no other job, it's Gezel. Someone who's not Osk Mishuvah Shalom, the Rambam says, is considered the Avak Gezel. Because if you have no other job, and you're playing with a non-Jew, we can assume you're playing with a Jew as well. And therefore the Rambam fuses the two reasons together. So it's a very, very interesting concept that we have here in Lamaisa that boils down to the Mechaber Amos. So at this point now, you guys might think that if you're Ashkenazim and you have a job, why not? Why can't you go to Atlantic City on Sunday? Should be okay. You have a 9-to-5 job. That's at this point. We'll see, God willing, at the end of the Shir position that it's prohibited to do that as well. Okay? Why is it prohibited? Okay, so this now, let us move on to the following. There is a Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Kuf Mem Ches that states that a father who has a bunch of kids is allowed to play the following game with his kids. He can say that he's going to make like a lotto or something, and whoever gets the lotto will get kishka. Whoever gets the lotto will get the potato cook. If all the portions are equal, that's fine. That's in order that your kids won't fight. But the Mishnah says it's prohibited to go ahead and say, make a game, whoever comes home from shul first, let's say, or whatever, make a game and say, whoever wins the game will get the big potato. Whoever loses will not get the big potato. Meaning there'll be a difference. In the first scenario I gave, everyone's going to get equal. The question is which piece. But if there's a difference between you only have enough potatoes, and whoever wins the game is going to get the potato and the other kids won't, that the Gemara says is prohibited. Why is it prohibited? And the Gemara says it's prohibited even during the weekday. It's prohibited. It's a gzeira mishum kuvia. It's a gzeira mishum kuvia. What does kuvia mean? Gambling. Meaning, gambling was such a big problem that they made a gzeira that you shouldn't engage in any gaming, because it might lead to actual gambling. And it was usher even during the weekday, the Gemara says. They prohibited this even during the weekday. And this is quoted in Shehilchos Shabbos by the Mechaber in Siman Shinchav Beis, and the Ramah doesn't argue. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Shehilchos Shabbos, and the Ramah does not argue. Now, Tosos writes in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Mem Chesem Beis, that this whole Gzeirah should collapse. If you have a job, what do we say that the whole problem of gambling is, according to the second approach, you're not contributing to society, and we're making a gzeirah because you might come to be a gambler, but if you have a job, there's no problem anyway in gambling. So the whole gzeirah should collapse. Right? The whole gzeirah should collapse. That's what Tosa says. But if you look in the Chiddushi Aran says no, that this gzeirah was so important to the Chachamim, that they made a gzeirah, you're not allowed to engage in any of these games at all, none whatsoever. You're not allowed to engage in any of these games at all because you might become a gambler. You hold a job, doesn't make a difference. Even if you hold a job, we're still afraid of it. We're still afraid of it. Still usher to do it. It might not make you pusillatus. It might not make you pusillatus, but you're not allowed to engage in any games. And Lamaisa, even though the Magen Avraham asks Ksas Arachiyun, that we normally assume the problem is that you are not contributing to society, but if you have a job, what's the problem? No. If you hold it's a problem of Gezel, number one, it's a problem. If you hold it's a problem of Gezel, number one, it's a problem. Number two, even if you hold that a guy has a job, you can still have the Gzeira. So there's a Gzeira. There's a Gzeira. And the Ramah holds to this Gzeira as well. So you see clearly, this is the reason why it would be usher to what to gamble. Because of this gzeirah. You follow what I'm saying? There's, even if you want to say that, what? In Hoshe Mishpat, if you hold a job, it's not a problem. But there's a separate gzeirah made not to engage in any games. In any games, because it might lead you, what, to gamble. Now, it might not make you pusillanimous unless you're doing it lahachas. If you break, let's say you're over muksa. Muksa is a gzeirah. Let's say on purpose you don't follow muksa. That might make you pusillanimous. It's questionable. It's definitely also what you did. Probably make you pusillanimous. Now, lamaisa, if you're gambling on purpose, you're over gzeirah. So that very well might make you pusillanimous. So you cannot say that, what, just based on the Ramah, that I'm not engaging in what? In society. But I have a job. Doesn't make a difference. You're doing it. You're over a gzeira. And the truth of the matter is, the Shulta Geburim, the end of Erevin, discusses. The Shulta Geburim in the end of Erevin discusses the following Kiddush. Are you allowed to play chess during the week or even on Shabbos? Two separate discussions. Why would chess be a problem? And why would it not be a problem? Bless you. Because why? Because we prohibit games of only luck. Games of skill we would allow. So maybe you could say chess is a game of skill and we would allow it. So it's possible to distinguish between games of skill and games of luck. You can play one-on-one basketball, that's a game of skill. Game of luck, though, might actually lead you to kubia. And some say no. Some say you can't what? You can't engage in any games. That's hard to imagine, halacha l'maisa. So I think we would have this gzeirah. The gzeirah, we would hold this gzeirah and limit it only to games of skill, but not apply to games of what? This gzeirah would be limited to games of luck, but games of skill we would allow. So how do you play all these board games? You have to say there's some element of skill in order to be okay. Otherwise, it should be awesome. Yes, go ahead.
But poker has a big element of skill as well.
So lamaisa, the truth of the matter is, I think the way it's known, though, the way it's known, in the nomenclature, is that it's more of a game of luck. So therefore, lamaisa, we would say it's a problem that you would fall under this category of this gzeirah.
So in theory, you're saying that if I were able to count cards in blackjack, it would be considered a game of skill to me. That would be able
yes,
to
but from the perspective of the gzeirah, even though your one case, you would think is okay, but we make a low plug. A low plug is a blanket gzeirah, and we would prohibit it across the board because of this gzeirah. And therefore, Lamaisa, you see, that's a very interesting svar, because that same svar is used in the opposite vein. Because what was the first approach in the Gemara why gambling was a problem? Because it was a smachta lo kanya. So there's a Mordechai that says, what when you put the money on the table, you only think you're going to win if it's a game of what? Skill. And therefore, the guy walks along with his gospel. But if it's a game of luck, you really have that in mind. So if you use the skill theory in that context, it's lakula. In that context, use the skill theory, it's not lakula, it's lachumra. Whoever walks away is going to be a gaza. We're talking about, in this zera, the skill theory is lakula. You follow what I'm saying? In the case of the first approach of the Gemara, the skill theory was what was going to make it a problem. It could be possible. Whoever walks away with the loot is a gaza. Whereas in this zera, we're saying maybe it's a little limited to games of luck, but games of skill are okay. That's another fascinating thing you find, that you go this far in two different diametrical opposed directions. Halacha l'maisa. So, we have this gzeirah, and this gzeirah is very, very critical, because this is the bottom line reason why take would be prohibited, halacha l'maisa, to gamble. Okay? And because of this gzeirah l'maisa, it would be usher to engage in gambling for stucca purposes, because you're involved in this gaming. You're over this gzeirah. Now, if you're doing it b'shogeg, okay, it might not make you pusillanimous, but if you're doing it b'mezid, maybe it would make you pusillanimous. So when Rav Kalevsky asked me that question as to whether we play cards or not, it makes a lot of what? It makes a lot of sense. Lomaisa, as to why, in fact, it could make someone what? Taka pusillanimous in such a situation, based on this Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that we paskin like, and that we hold of this gzeirah. There's a separate gzeirah made. We don't have the ability, guys, to repeal a gzeirah. You have to be greater b'chochma b'minyan. We don't have a base that's greater b'chochma b'minyan in convention and number of the times of the Gemara. So that gzeirah remains steadfast, and the Ramah has the gzeirah, because the Ramah's not cholik on the Mechaber and the Hilchos Shabbos. When he talks about a father making that game, he can't make that game up. He can make the game up if the pieces are equal. But if the pieces aren't equal, he can't do that. Zeri Mishum Kuvya. Yes, go ahead.
In the case of the father making up the game, though, does the Isser apply to him to make up the game even though he's not playing as his children?
Right.
That wouldn't be him gambling.
Well, they're Katana. They're Katana. But he's leading them to do it. He's leading them to be over. He's training them to, in the notion of gaming, that they might grow up and gamble.
So wouldn't that kind of be a case of looking at Yiger then?
It would be, number one. But number two is, he would be over this din of causing them to be involved in it. He's part of the game too. He's part of the game too. But you're absolutely right. This would be a problem. And therefore, all these Las Vegas nights that sometimes shuls have, I mean, Lania's deity, I think, is a problem because you're over this Xera. And you can't explain it away because we're trying to raise stock of funds through this. Because the bottom line is that this is a problem of Xera. So we have to be careful about it. All games that we play, though, we'll explain in a way why it's okay, because it's skill-oriented. There's got to be an element of skill. But as you said before, if it's known as a game of luck, even though you yourself might say, I have a skill, it's a low plu. And therefore, that would be a problem. So, therefore, for Ashkenazim and Sephardim, we would prohibit gambling based on this Gzeira Halach Lamaisa. Now, would it make you possible Aedis if you had a job? So, according to the Mechaber Lamaisa, it still would, because you're stealing, you're robbing someone, without a doubt. According to the Ramah, you wouldn't be possible Aedis because it's only a problem of contributing society if you have a job. But it could very well be that maybe we could make you possible Aedis through a different approach. The fact that you're being over at Xeru. And if you're over at Xeru, does that make you postulate? That's questionable. But Lamaisa, you see clearly that engaging in such behavior is a problem. You know, there's so many stories that are said about gambling that are so, so terrible. I once heard from Dr. Twersky about it, that a guy became such a compulsive gambler that he had a child, baby. And before even wishing his wife mazel tov, he asked the doctor what the weight of the baby was. And he went out to the horse races and bet that number. Without even wishing a mazel tov to his wife. It becomes obsessive compulsive behavior. And a compulsive gambler we have to be very, very worried about. There is an organization called Gamblers Anonymous that you should tell your chaverim. Lemaise, if you have a chaver that's involved in it, or there's something called gamenan, which are relatives of a person that is a gambler, that you come together in how to deal with such a person. But it's a very, very elusive, attracts someone. We have to be very fierce about it, never to be involved in it. I'll never forget it. I was a little boy growing up in Peoria, Illinois. I once bet a non-Jewish neighbor of mine on a football game, and I lost the bet. $5 bet, and the fellow comes knocking on the door to collect his money. And my father said, what was that all about? And I told him, and he gave me such a musa shmus, I'll never forget, it still rings in my ears, about being very, very, very makpid, never to be involved in this concept of this very alluring behavior of gambling. And that's, I think, why there was such a gzera. The Chachamim knew that. The Chachamim knew this. And that's why there was a special gzera made, not even to engage in something that might lead to it. The only reason why we'll allow it is because it's an element of skill. That's perhaps a kula. So playing chess on Shabbos is one issue, but playing chess during the week is another issue. So the reason why we'd say chess, okay, this is a game of skill. Now, you'll tell me, why was that usur? You're not walking away with anything. That's a further extension of the gzera of the Gemara. Why? Because at least you're walking away with a nitzachon. The Shulta Geburim, the end of Erev. You're walking away with the thrill of victory. You have no money in your hand. It doesn't make a difference. There was such a concern that they asked her to even what? Even to play a game of luck, even though you're walking away with nothing. At least in the Gemara's case, you're walking away with the children or the potato. But the Gemara, the Rishonim even had a further extension of the Xerim. That even if you walk away with nothing, Lamaisa, even if you walk away with nothing, there's still going to be a problem. So we have to be very cognizant of that. So basically, up till now, we basically are prohibiting gambling based on how many reasons now? Number one is what? Gezel. Right? Number one is Gezel, at least according to the Rambam. Rashi told the Rambam, said it wasn't Gezel. We said it was Gezel to Rabbana. Why? Because it's inadvertent, the Shogeg. Second reason is what? You're not contributing to society, which is a problem. Yeah, every person in life has to do something that's contributing to society, and therefore you'll be postulated based on that if you don't have another job. What's number three? There's a gzeira, special gzeira made, that is prohibited to what? Prohibited to engage in any gaming that might lead to gambling. Okay, and that was even if you have a job, we said, according to Chiddush Yoran. Even if you have a job, Chiddush Yoran said, there's Tosa said, the gzeira doesn't get off the ground if you have a job. But the Chiddush Yoran says in Shabbos that it still remains steadfast. Yes, go ahead.
So, are you familiar with like fantasy, like baseball?
Yeah, I love sports. I'm a big sports fan. But I don't play it. I told one of our Balabatim in the shul that I think it's prohibited.
Okay, so that's
yes, because I think it's more luck than skill. Even though you claim you're a baseball expert or a football expert, the bottom line is it's probably more luck. I don't think it's proper.
Okay.
Yes, it's a good question. I told him he wasn't happy about it, but he listened. He listened to me. So we have to be very careful about this type. Like, you know how you have NCAA pools and the brackets? It's not proper. It's really not proper to engage in this. It's breaking the gzeira. It's breaking the gzeira. I don't know how certain shows have Las Vegas nights. I think it's improper. Yes, go ahead.
I was thinking about the Las Vegas nights.
Yes.
So a lot of the way it really works is, my brother was telling me, you know, they had an issue, they put down their money.
Yes.
They got their chips, and then they played, and the money that they put down went straight to Sadaka. So if we were to say that it's a game dependent on skill, then that would mean he has no intention of losing the money. But because no one's walking away with any money, there's no...
But you still have the Xavier. You're absolutely right. There's no problem with stealing in that case. And everyone has a job, but you still have the gzeira. You're engaging in that behavior of gaming. So I don't know how you get out of that. I don't think it's proper. And the truth is, you know how they do, many places do raffles, and you know. There's Chinese auctions. I also think it's a problem. This is a gzeira mishum kubia. So based on that perspective, Lamaisa, how do you allow it? Yes, go ahead.
Right, but isn't it different if you know? Before you gamble or whatever, poker, sports, whatever, if you know your downside, right? Let's say you know you're putting $20, you're okay with losing $20, right? As opposed to going to a casino and your downside is completely
But we can't make our own fences in the Xavier's. The Xavier was made.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. The gzeira was made. You know, I'll give you a good example. Like Tosa says in Beit, we can't clap on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why not? So there's a gzeira that what we might build a guitar. Who knows how to build guitars nowadays? No one does. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. We have to be greater b'chachma minin. Now Tosu says that the gzeira doesn't apply nowadays, but the Shulchan Aruch says it does. We don't have the ability to what? To repeal such a gzeira takana. So this gzeira, I got to tell you guys, I know a guy, I still don't know to this day and age where the guy is. When I was in Smicha, there was a guy who got involved in gambling. Every night he was involved with the bookies. Did not finish Smicha, quit Smicha, and I don't know, to this day and age, I don't know what happened to the guy. It's very alluring, and you have to, I don't think you can tolerate it. And that's there's terrible stories of destroyed homes, mechanic to kids, abusive behavior, lamaisin, and this is something that we have to, the Saral Shal Esav was called Kubiustus. Was he called a Kubiustus? Yes, go ahead.
You have something like investing.
Oh, so Rav Shechta thought that that was considered to be a business venture. So that's considered, it doesn't have all the milieu of gaming, Lamaisin. Therefore, he felt that being a stockbroker is considered to be a business venture. It's not like Zerim Shum Kubi. That's what he felt. I mean, you're holding a 9-to-5 job, Lamaisin, it's in a business environment. It doesn't have, and we're going to get to the other problems with gambling that we're going to get to right now based on your point. Okay? So another problem that we should point out for gambling is the following claw. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tesamin Aleph, Leikim Midi De Lisrael Shari L'Akam Aser. There's no category in Halacha that for a Jew something's mutter and for a Goy that it's Aser, for a non-Jew. No category in Halacha. There's no such claw. Now there are many fine non-Jews, if you'd ask them, do they allow gambling? Would they look positive upon gambling? Certain, where I grew up in Illinois, pure Illinois, they would only allow it sometimes on the river boat, not on the land. They looked down upon it very strongly. Certain churches would not allow bingo in their churches at all. So if non-Jews look down upon something, even though if you look in our Shulchan Aruch and you want to say it's permissible, there's no way that would be okay. There's no category in halacha. That's called a Yiddishism of Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem halachically means you do some aver in front of 10 Jews. But a Chil Hashem in Yiddish means that you're doing something the non-Jews look down upon. So if the non-Jews look down upon gambling, how could we allow it? So that's another reason why you would prohibit it, gambling. Lake immediately the Israel Shari Lakam Usr. It's a shanda. Right? The Yiddish word of a shanda. So that's another halachic reason why there's some poskim that look down upon that would prohibit gambling, because the bottom line is that there are non-Jewish, fine non-Jews that say it's a prohibited. How can we allow it in our shuls if they prohibit it in their churches? Bingo and things of that sort. That's another reason. So a fifth reason we can add on, Kedoshim Tiyu. What is Kedoshim Tiyu? And that's a chiyuv. Be pure. You should sanctify yourselves on the things that are pure, that are mutter. And the truth of the matter is that this is something that we should strive to sanctify ourselves. And therefore, it has a lot of negative things. Casinos, it's not sneezes, the priests is there. And in fact, it's a place of Moshe Bleitzim. Moshe Bleitzim, Mishnah says, no, it's not allowed to go to a place of Moshe Bleitzim. Yeah, like preaches, you know, inyani preaches, and people get drunk there, and other inyani, you know, preaches with, you know, not sneas behavior, and you know, with you know, different, it's preaches, and therefore it's not proper to even go to these places. So based on the concept of kedushim tiyud Moshe Leitzim, one would say would definitely be a problem. Halacha lemaisa based on all these inyani. So we have to get to the concept to show to us that asmachta really, what really is a din on a level d'oraisa. Where is the marker of asmachta come from? This concept of asmachta. So it comes from Olyachli, a nazar. A nazar lamaisa cannot become a nazar halacha lamaisa with a tanai. He's got to be 100% clear with certainty he wants to become a nazar. He's sitting on the bench with a friend of his. He says, oh, that guy walking down the street is Mr. X. And he says, if he's wrong, he'll become a nazar. That you can't become a nazar that way. So the Gemara extends that to Dini Mamonis, that an Asmachta also, Lamaisa, an Asmachta also is, you have to be 100% clear. So therefore, if you put the money down and you think you're always going to win, it comes out that that extension is by Nazar, which is D'oraisa, to extend it to financial matters might be a Din D'Rabbanan. Tosfos says, how do you extend it? But Lamaisa, we extend it. Lamaisa, we extend it. Now let me ask you, what's the difference whether you hold Asmachta Kanya be D'oraisa and D'Rabbanan? We didn't bring that up. Asmachta lo kanya, according to what the sheet of Tosfos is, it didn't d'oraisa. Asmachta lo kanya. That's why you're a goslin. You steal, you win the money, you win the loot, you're a goslin. Why are you a goslin d'rabbanan? Because you did a bishoge. But there is a sheet, Tosfos says d'oraisa. Asmachta lo kanya, that means you're a goslin. There is a sheet of the Mordechai that quotes Rabbeinu Nisanal. The sheet of the Mordechai b'shem Rabbeinu Nisanal says that asmachta's kanya d'oraisa, mid rabbanan they got rid of it. Smachta kanya, Mordechai b'shem Rabbeinu Nisanal. Mordechai b'shem Rabbeinu Nisanal says asmachta kanya mid yoraisa, and the rabbanan, the power invested in them based on hefker, based on hefker, they got rid of it. Mid rabbanan lo kanya. Mid Rabbanan, they got rid of it. Okay? So, bottom line is we hold Asmachta lo kanya. You can't make a kinyan in a Asmachta way. And again, what was the two approaches to Asmachta? Either like Rashi Tosfos, where you did a kinyan with the money on the table or in the bowl, and you made it out tonight with the umdun mukha, you never thought it would come to fruition. Okay? Whereas according to the Rambam, you did das out tonight. Everything was verbal according to the Rambam. So remember we said, it's a big nafkimiyah how to learn the Gemara. When they're sitting down and gambling, according to Tosos, they made a kinyan. They're putting the money in the bowl and they're putting the money on the table. They thought they would win. According to the Rambam, everyone's doing it verbally. Mesachik ba'amonet. According to the Rambam, if you made a kinyan, that would not be a problem of a smachta. According to the Rambam, if you pass around a bowl, that would be no problem. You wouldn't be a gazer. There might be other problems, like the side zera, but there's a fundamental machloika. So on this concept of a smachta kanya, is it a din d'oraisa or is it not? So Tosfos says it's a din d'oraisa. And the Mordechai says in Baba Kama, Gashim Rabbeinu Nisanal, in d'oraisa it's good, min rabbanan it's not good. Smachta kanya. So what's the difference, guys? Where do you hold your eyes in the bar? I'll tell you two dafkaminas that are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, which are not necessarily mukhruf, but they say as follows. Let's say by hektish or yeshiva. Let's say a guy, I don't know, plays a certain game, and he says that if he wins, he'll give $10 million to yeshiva. Okay, if he wins the loot. And then, lo and behold, he wins the loot. And he says, hey, he'll give $10. He changes his mind. So, you know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch? That if you hold a smach below Kanya Midiraisa, then the yeshiva will only give the $10. He can change his mind, because it's low Kanya. But if you hold a smach to Kanya, and the Rabbanim, they got rid of it, that's only between two individuals. But if you do it to Hektish or Staka, they said it is binding. And he would have to give the $10 million. He would have to give the $10 million.
That's what our apostle said. It's not only Rabbi Yossi.
Excellent. So machlokes tanoim, whether you hold a smach lekanya, smach lo kanya. But the tana that we pass in a smach lo kanya, that's what I'm saying. Is that only smach lo kanya? Is that even viraisa like Tosos, standard shot? But the Mordechai Kosher Ben in the silence is lo kanya on a drabana level. Really, minatora, the tana that holds a smach lo kanya holds minatora. It is kanya. But they got rid of it only by individuals. But by a hektish or a tztaka or a yeshiva, it'll be binding. Whereas we hold like Tosfos, it won't be binding because the Din D'Oraisa is lo kanya. Very excellent. That's a mishnah in the end of Baba Basra. And Daf Kuf Samaches with the smach da kanya, smach lo kanya. Very excellent. So that's one nafkamina. So one nafkamina is, let's say, tztaka, the hektish. Another nafkamina would be, let's say, a non-Jew. You're playing with a non-Jew, and the non-Jew Lamaisa lost and you won. What would you say? So if you hold a smach lo kanya, you're stealing from the goy by taking the money. Right? It's gezel akum, but at least it's the rabbanon, so maybe it's allowable. But Lamaisa, if you hold a smach de kanya, legabi anachri, maybe we hold a smach de kanya. What does a smach de kanya mean? That you win. And you wouldn't have to pay the money back. You follow me? Meaning they held a smach de kanya, but they didn't undo it by a non-Jew. They said a smach de kanya. Whereas if you held a smach de lo kanya, even by a non-Jew, it wouldn't be a good king. If you hold a smach de lo kanya, you're right, even by a non-Jew, it's a problem. But if you hold a smach de kanya, they only undid it in the Rabbana, maybe by a nachri they didn't undo it. And you go back to the din d'oraisa. What's the classical case there in that Mishnah in the end of Baba Basra? Guy owes someone $1,000. He says, listen, you haven't paid me back in a few months. He says, give me till Shavuos. He says, if you don't, what, pay me back my Shavuos? Then he says, I'll give you an extra $500. $1,500, that's an asmach. Because he never thought it would come to fruition. He thought he'd be able to pay him back. He says, no, if I don't pay you back my Shavuos, I'll add another $500.
Is that sort of like interest?
Oh, excellent kasha. You know who asked that kasha? The Rashba, the end of Baba Basra, wakes up and asks that kasha. That not one time free, but the Rashba quotes B'Shem the Rimigash, if you do it B'derech Knas, if you do it as a penalty, then it's not interest. So it's like he's penalizing himself. You know, like in the calf they used to have when I was in college, you have to sign up for Shabbos, but if you don't sign up by a certain day, they get extra $10. Why is that not Riddis? Because it's B'derech Knas. That's what the Rimigash, the Rebbe of the Rambam says. The Rashba has that kasha. So that's exactly the classic case of a smachta, right? You entrust the star by a third party. You entrust the star by the third party, and entrusting the star by the third party, he's going to what? He's going to give it back to him. He'll have to end up paying $1,500. So is that, according to the Rambam, is that called a kinyan? Rambam says that's not called a kinyan, entrusting the star by a third party. According to Rashi, Tosis, and the Ramban, it is called a kinyan. Every time you have a smachta, you got to plug in this general machlokes all over Shas. Was it a kinyan? Al Tanai with an Nemuch who never thought it would come to fruition? That's Rashi, Tosis, and the Ramban. The Rambam says no, it's all verbal. You made a verbal commitment, al tanai, that's an asmachta. That's the machlokes, lomais, you have all over. No, you know, there was a case, Tosfos says in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yudim and Beis, I don't know if you heard about it. Let's say a couple gets married, let's say, and the husband leaves her after 5 years, and she's stuck as an aguna. So is there any way to say, oh, she never would have gotten married if she knew her husband would have left her? Tosfos asks that question. So Tosfos says, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. Anytime there's a bilateral agreement, Right? There's always a possibility to what? There's always a possibility to say that what? It might be good for a person, it might be bad for a person. So he says, you invest in a house, you invest in a property, and it goes down. Oh, can you say, I want to undo the deal? That's all a business enterprise. You have both stardom. When you have both stardom, you can't say, asmachta. When you're talking about a situation, lemaisa, when you're talking about a situation of a one-sided thing, then it's an issue of asmachta. That was why Rashi, that's why Tosafot said, it's not called an asmachta gambling, because there's two sides, right? There's two sides. The same thing by the marriage. You can't say that that's an asmachta. She never would have agreed to the marriage. Of course she needs to get it. It's a terrible situation. She's stuck as a guna, but you can't undo the marriage like that. So, this is the chiddush that we want to bring out here regarding this din. So it's a very, very... it's a very, very alluring thing, as I said. And the bottom line is, we gave 4 to 5 different reasons why it's really prohibited to engage in. And the question is asked earlier, how are you going to, I think Jesse asked earlier, how are you going to try to, if you are a person engaged in that, and it's really out of hand, then you got to go to Gamblers Anonymous, for sure. And you really got to make an effort. If you know of somebody, be a cover to try to bring them in, do that. Because it almost destroys people's lives. I know, I've seen cases with it. It's terrible behavior. And number two is, let's say you've nipped it in the bud, but you need to do tshuva. So how do you do tshuva? So number one is, if you have like the first approach of the Mechaber writes, you got to pay the people back. Now if you can't find the people, what do? Give it to public tzedakah. Okay? You got to pay back the tzedakah. You can't keep those funds. You just can't.
We're allowed to give stolen money to tzedakah.
Lamaisi, you are not allowed. If you cannot, the Gemara says, if you cannot find the person, Gemara Baba Kama Daf Sadi Beis, if you cannot find the person he stole from, you must give it to public works. That's if you cannot find the person. Okay? You got to make an effort to find the person. If you can't find the person, what are you going to do? But you have to give it to stalker. But like I said, I think the prohibition of gambles even to raise funds for stalker. It's not right. We don't believe in Robin Hood. Lamaisi, you're not allowed to steal from the rich and give to the poor. Right, not allowed to do that. So you cannot raise funds through tzedakah. And so what do you do for tshuva? That's number one. You got it. Number two, the Gemara says, and the Rambam has his nichlas tshuva, believe it or not, you know what the Rambam says? The chips that you use as a poker, if for a poker player, you have to throw it out. The cards you use for blackjack, you have to throw it out. You have to get rid of the items that you use to engage in this, to have full tshuva shlema. You know, there's two types of tshuva. Tshuva kapara and tshuva of ava. Tshuva of Tahara, the Rav has in the beginning of Allah Tshuva. That Tshuva can also get rid of the punishment, also Tshuva that's Matari yourself. And that second type is you're trying to Matari yourself to get rid of the chips. Throw away the chips, throw away the wood chips, and throw away the cards, Lomaisa. So, you know, the Mishnah Berurah in the Aruch HaShulchan, Hilchos Chanukah, if you want, you look it up. I guess Hilchos Chanukah, they used to play dreidel a lot, or cards, whatever they did, Lomaisa. And there, the Aruch HaShulchan Mishnah Berurah, very fierce about people. They gamble, and it's a terrible aveira. You look in the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan Hilchos Chanukah, there they discuss at great length the terrible things of gambling, why it's prohibited. So how do kids play dreidel and things like that? I guess maybe you could rely on that Maran Bruno, maybe once a year, Lamaisa. But even that, Lamaisa, even that, you make the kids give all the money back to each other. And either Xera and Hanami, based on Xera, maybe it's a problem, because dreidel's certainly not skill, right? It's luck. So these are the different reasons why I think it's a problem to gamble, and we should be vigilant about it. It's become a big problem in high schools and camps. You know, let the kids play ball. Let them play basketball, let them play baseball, let them, you know, do fun things, but not through cards, not through gambling. And Lamaisa, Bez Hashem, we'll be able to eradicate this type of behavior, because then people start being mishaker and it destroys marriages, mishpachas, as I said. And you see how that some of the Rishonim said, Lamaisa, they threw people out of the Chevra Kedisha for it, Lamaisa, and there were, and the plague that happened in Cremona, the Rabbanim said they felt it was because of the rampant gambling that was happening. And if it's true that, and according to the Rabbi Nachanan, that was the Sarah Shalesa. Sarah Shalesa is called the Kubi Yustas. And therefore, we have to be very, very cognizant about to make sure that, the appreciation of working hard and working, taking a job. And as I said, even if you make a small amount of money, but at least you have a salary, and you see that you'll have appreciation for it, won't come to cause a person to be postulatus. Okay, any other, yeah, go ahead. Yes.
Sacks.
Yes.
But it, within, I mean, it's a generous, a pretty broad, I mean, topic. There's something within investing which can be seen as gambling.
Like what, futures, you mean?
Yeah, like selling short and things.
Yeah.
Things,
but I think, it's a good point, yeah. But I think it's still under what Rav Schechter said, under that business venture rubric. And therefore, that's generally what we say. It doesn't have the whole milieu, like we said, the Preetzes and the Moshe Vleitzim, and you have a job, you might have employees. So that's what I think we generally will assume. You're right, it is, in a sense, a type of, you know, right, highfalutin gambling. Yeah. But I think it will not fall under this gezeira, l'maisa, gezeira mishum kubya, and it won't be the issue of enosim mishum shalolom, an issue of real gezel mamish.
Because this is his, you know, this is his livelihood, and he will be seen as...
Right. And it is a business venture, right? There is a business venture, and Lamaisa doesn't have that milieu of gaming. That's what I think you have to say. Okay? All right, very good. We'll stop here. Everyone have a good day. And it goes up to about this time, right?
Yeah.
Till 12:45, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, very good. Everyone have a good day. Next week, Bezrat Hashem, we'll do Hilchos Pesach. Bezrat Hashem. So Minyanim Hilchos Pesach. Okay, everyone have a good day. Who's this tape goes where? Is this Rabbi Kalinsky? How do you stop it?